Well, good evening. I thought I would come and not be wired tonight, but they got the wire on. I guess if I say something wrong, they push a button and poof, you know, it's all over. And they even put a second one up here. So we hope that one of them gets the message. And I hope you get the message tonight. Now, on the way out here on the bus, I understand that I'm now a celebrity. I sang a song and it's on Facebook. That's what I was told. I don't go on Facebook that much, so I didn't realize that I was such a celebrity. But I hope that it'll be a blessing to whoever hears the song that I sang. Okay? Tonight we're going to deal with God's will in my life. And it's very important that you as an individual have a good connection with the Lord Himself and, you know, have a relationship, because God is almighty, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God's the creator of the world, and if anybody can help us live our life, it should be God. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, if God can do all those things, surely wouldn't that help us? Because we're just, you know, fallen sinners. We're just human beings. We don't have the attributes of God. So we really need some help, right? And I hope that what I speak to you will help you realize that you need a good relationship with the Lord. I'd like for us to look at a couple of verses. Both of them are, three verses, but all of them are in the Old Testament. We'll start with Psalm 37:5. Psalm 37:5. And when you get there, just hold your hand up so I know you have found it in a physical, earthly Bible. Okay? Because the song leader said, "Do you have a physical Bible?" I hear that you have a vacation, and only 1 hour a day do you get off your vacation, right? You don't have your phone with you for a little while. Hey, that is real freedom. I love it when my phone doesn't ring. Then I don't have to worry about it, right? I can concentrate on something else. But today people are walking around and they're sitting on the MRT and the bus and, you know, they can't take their eyes off of it. You know, let's don't be tied to things so deeply that we can't concentrate on some things that are very important. Psalm 37:5. Let's read it together. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Okay, and then turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And when you have that, hold your hand up so I know. You know, when you're using a physical Bible, it's different than just hitting a couple buttons on your phone and it just instantaneously comes up on the screen. Yeah. Sometimes I look at my phone and I'm reading the Bible and I read it. And I say, you know, I want to check that out. And I'll go over to my physical Bible and I'll open it up to make sure it's saying exactly what it says in the Bible. Okay? I do that. You know? I'm not so sure all this technology is always right. Yeah, it's not always right. So you have to check it out. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's say it together. Let's read it together. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So we have three verses here that show us that we really need a relationship with the Lord and God's will in our lives. And if we have a real good relationship with the Lord, we can have that will in our lives. And that's very important. Now, knowing what to do and doing it are two different things. Most children, even when they're small, know when they do something they shouldn't do. Okay? They know it. They know it. And you know it when you do something you shouldn't do. Right? So, knowing what to do, the right thing to do, and then doing it is two different things. Knowing and doing is two different things. Even the Apostle Paul had this problem. In Romans 7:5, Paul said this, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Now that's not the way we would say it in Singapore, in the language here, but the message is, he was saying, I do things that I don't want to do, and the things I really want to do, I'm not doing. Can you relate to that? Huh? Yeah, you can relate to that. And it's easy to intellectually say, I should commit my life to the Lord. I should rely upon Him. But it's also easy to say, but I'm afraid to. It's easy to say that. And sometimes people do. Now, why should this be? Well, you ask yourself, and you may respond with any of the following excuses. Here's some excuses that people give when it comes to knowing what to do and maybe not doing it. I'm afraid God will ask me to do something that's hard to do or something I don't like to do. So I don't know if I want to ask Him, you know, to have me do that. God will want me to give up all the things that are fun in life. And then I'll be miserable. Do you really think that? Some people do. I mean, to be a Christian, you've got to be straight-laced, and you've got to walk a certain way, and you have to sing in the service, and you have to read your Bible, and you know. And a lot of people say, oh, that sounds so boring. So boring. Or, God will want me to be a preacher. So many people, you know, if I get saved, then God will want me to be a preacher, and I don't think I can do that. Well, when I got saved, I didn't even think about that. And here I am, a preacher. But you see, God's will for me in time was to be a preacher. But that doesn't mean that that's God's will for everybody to be a preacher. You understand me? Not everybody's a preacher. Boy, wouldn't that be good if everybody was a preacher? Huh? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if your dad was a preacher? Whoa! Wow! Well, sometimes he talks to you like a preacher, doesn't he? Yeah. I hope you listen. God will want me to be a missionary and go halfway around the world and go to strange places and leave my family and my friends. You see, my wife and I, we're halfway around the world right now. You can't hardly go any farther than where we are now to be halfway around the world from where we live in the United States. We're halfway around the world. Well, oh my, I don't know if I could do that. God won't want me to have nice things. I have everything I need. And I even have some of the things I want. My wanter is not as important as my needer. You know, I need 3 meals a day. Okay. But I don't have to drive a Cadillac. And I wouldn't want to here. I'd be afraid because of the traffic. And it might get dented up. Okay? So, God's will. God's will. I'm afraid that if I won't be happy. Well, I think the Christian life is the happiest life you can have on earth, because you have a friend that's closer than a brother. You have the Lord Jesus, and you have the presence of the Holy Spirit and all. So, but why would you think things like that? Well, I think you think things like that because you think maybe God is not as smart as you are. But really, that's not true. God created the world. God placed man on the earth. He's the one that gave all the trees and the flowers and the grass and the blue sky and the oceans, and He did all that. Now, if He didn't want you to be enjoy life, why would He do all that? He wouldn't. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. They didn't have want for anything. Everything was there that they needed. Everything was there. And, you know, you have to trust. You have to trust. It's kind of like what happened to Eve, isn't it? She was out one day and the serpent came along, and Satan, of course, was in the serpent and got her to doubt that God was smart and God was loving and God knew what He was doing, and Eve ended up not trusting God. And so we have to realize that these verses that we read, especially the first one, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." And God will work for our benefit, you see. And the matter of commitment to the Lord has to do with rolling our way upon Him. In other words, let God carry our load. Let God help us. God wants to help us. He would like to work in and through everyone's life. That's His desire, according to the Scriptures. And, you know, you need to be dependent upon Him instead of independent. Now, I know at your age in life, you're tired of the rules and regulations around the house. Every morning I have to get up, and I have to get up in time to eat and get ready and go to school, and mom and dad are constantly on my case about this. Well, do you want to be dumb all your life? Don't you want to go to school and learn? Don't you want to prepare yourself for what life is on earth? Sure you do. Well, then you have to make the effort to do it. You have to commit to it. And the same thing's true when it comes to God. You need to commit to Him. And commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will help you in your life. And it doesn't happen automatically. It takes a decisive decision on your part to do it. If you're going to make straight A's in school, you have to commit to studying hard, being ready for your exams, doing your homework, reviewing the material, and then do well on the exam in order to come out and be on the honor roll. I mean, you know, it takes commitment, you see. And that's what God wants us to do in relation to Him. It's an act of faith. We're trusting if we do the right things that we'll have the right result. According to the Word of God, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Same thing. Same thing. And we need to do that. Commitment is not the same as rededication, though. Now, sometimes people, maybe they were, some of you may be saved, been saved for a while, and yet now, well, maybe you're not reading your Bible like you ought to. Maybe you're not praying like you ought to. Maybe you're not faithful in attendance at church. You've kind of slacked off some. And maybe you need to rededicate your life. But this commitment I'm talking about is a time you come to a place in your life where you say, I mean business about this. I want God to be in control of my life. I'm committing myself to Him. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I want Him to help me live my life like He knows I need to live it. You see, that's the will of God in your life. That's putting God's will in your life. You know, if you have a ship that sails, but there's no commitment to the destination, the ship will never get to the port that it's destined to go to. Why? Because you've never committed to it. It'll just be sailing up and down all through the waters out there, and it'll never get anywhere. And in our Christian life, if we do not commit to the Lord, then we'll be just like a ship that doesn't have a destination, doesn't have a final point to go to. Now, you'll have a final, you know, one day if you trust in the Lord and He's your Savior and you live a nominal Christian life, you will one day go to heaven, yes. But if you have true commitment to Him, you'll do more than just go to heaven. You'll have abundant life here on earth, and you'll have rewards to go to heaven with you. Okay? And commitment is very important. Man's concept of God will determine his view of sin. Some people feel, well, I can believe in the Lord and I can trust in Him, but, you know, I can also enjoy the world. Well, it depends on what part of the world you're talking about. There's some things in the world that are not good. In fact, there's a lot of things in this world system that are not good. And a lot of those things, they're held out as though they're really good for you, but they're really not good for you. You understand me? You know, oh, if you want the right feeling, you need to sniff this. You need to smoke that. You need to drink this. And we have people dying because they're overdosing on drugs, on tablets, and killing themselves, not realizing that these things are not the things that really bring true meaning to life. And so everyone commits. All of you are committed. All of you are committed to somebody in some ways. All of you are committed. Some of you that work are committed to a job. You have to punch the clock a certain time every day. Punch in, punch out. Or, you know, you have to. There's an accounting that has to take place. Everybody commits. Everybody commits. Pleasure. A lot of people, this weekend I can't go to church because I just got to have some fun. I need to relax. And have some fun. And then when the weekend is over and it's time to go to work on the next Monday morning, nobody wants to go to work. I want to call in sick. You know, I did some things over the week I shouldn't have done. I'm not feeling good, you know. Oh, boy. You know, and we can have some habits that give us real fits. You know? Too much cell phone usage can give us trouble. Too much of these new games that you can play, and you start playing them and you can't put it down, and you keep playing it and keep playing it. Next thing you look at the clock, it's 2 a.m. And the next morning your mother can't get you out of bed. Why can't she get you out of bed? Well, because you played the game till 2 a.m. I was by my son. He lives in the West Indies, and I go down there and do modular courses at the Bible College, and I stay with my son because it gives me a chance to see him and the family and all. And the oldest son plays those games. I'm in the other room trying to sleep, and I'm hearing this. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, and when it gets close to midnight, I go out and I say, listen, turn it off. If you don't turn it off, I'm going to unplug it. Okay? So he turns it off. But he should have had the sense to turn it off before then. You see. Commitment to God is necessary. It's very necessary. You'll not go much, very far in your life unless you commit to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's necessary to commit. You can't expect to serve God right unless you're totally committed to Him. It doesn't work that way. And the thing is, it's commanded. Commitment is commanded. After writing to the Romans about the terrible effect of sin on man, the need of all men to be saved, and a detailed explanation of salvation, God gives it. And then He urges the believers to voluntarily present themselves to God. God wants you to commit. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word present means commitment or submission. It means yielding. It means dedication. Presentation. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did you ever hear anybody say, I would die for the Lord? The Lord doesn't necessarily want you to die, but He wants you to live for Him. If you're really willing to die for Him, you ought to be willing to live for Him. Less painful to live for Him than it is to die. Right? So we need to live for the Lord. We need to live for Him. Commit our lives to Him. And who do we commit our lives to? We commit our lives to a person. That person is God Himself, the Creator of all things, the all-powerful God that is in control of the whole universe. That's who we're committing to. And commitment means that a person is available. Now, whatever God wants to do, He'll inform you. Do you remember the story about Saul of Tarsus? He hated Christians. He was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to go up there and see if he could kill some Christians and put some of them in prison and take away their homes and their possessions. And he was against Christians. But on the road to Damascus, he met the Savior. And when he met the Savior, instantaneously he realized that God was real and had a will for him. And he said, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord told him, go on into the city and it'll be told you what I want you to do. You see, if you'll commit, then God will let you know what He would have you to do. But it's God you're talking to. It's God you're dealing with. And in the verse here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it's your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, it's reasonable. Your reasonable service. It's the logical thing to do. When we don't commit to the Lord, that's the illogical thing to do. That is the irrational thing to do. That's the unsensible thing to do. You understand me? Somebody's not thinking at all if they're not willing to commit to the Lord, the Creator. Okay? The Creator. Let's don't be unreasonable. Let's don't be insane. You know? Why? Because this is your spiritual service of worship. This is how you let God know that you really love Him and appreciate what His Son has done for you. So, this is what we ought to do. And commitment to God is transforming. When we start reading God's Word is a living book. It's life-giving. It informs us how to live and what to do and where to go. And it does all this, and it's miraculous how if we follow the Word of God and walk in the Spirit, that we are, we're not like we used to be. It transforms. It transforms our thinking. It says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says that we need to present our bodies. And in verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And you will be transformed if you allow God to work in and through your life, through the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It happens. It comes. And why would we do something like that? Well, so that we can prove the will of God. Do you want to know if God's really who He says He is? Put Him to the test. Prove Him. That's what that verse says. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove that the will of God is the right thing, the just thing, the true thing, the best thing. And it is the best. I've been trying to prove it for more years than any of you are old. Okay? We won't talk about how many more years, but it's a lot more. Okay? And listen, I believe it. I believe it. It's true. The Bible is the Word of God. It is life-changing. It will transform. It does bless. It does bring joy and peace and everything to you. And let's go to Mark chapter 8 for a minute. I want to read a few verses here. I want you to notice what it says here in Mark chapter 8. We'll start reading in verse 35 and read just a few verses. And notice what it says here. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now listen to what the Bible's saying. If we try to hold on to it and keep it and only do what we think we ought to do, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. In other words, life is time. And every minute, you have 1 minute less of life. Well, how many minutes do I have? I don't know how many you've got. I don't know how many I have. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life or use it for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. In other words, if we use it right, we end up saving our life. And the blessings we have, many of them are eternal blessings that we have. Okay? For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul or life? What are we going to get from that? Nothing! Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So it comes down to a question. Will you save your life or will you lose your life? Following God's will in your life saves your life. Doing your own thing in your life, you'll lose. I'd like to give you a couple of examples. There's an example of Jesus Himself. He's the Son of God. Notice His example in John 10:17. It says there, "Therefore doth my Father love me," Jesus is speaking, "because I," Jesus, "lay down my life, that I," Jesus, "might take it again." Jesus gave up His life to God the Father. Now, if God the Son is willing to give up His life to God the Father, and He comes out on the winning side, why? Because He died, was placed in the tomb, but on the third day He rose from the dead, and He lives forevermore. Hey, He won. And we won too. Because of what He did on Calvary, paid for our sins so that we could be saved too. Praise the Lord. We need to follow His example. Yeah. And then I want you to learn from the parable of the rich fool. You know, the parable that's in Luke chapter 12. It says in verse 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself." Notice what the Bible says. For himself, he was harvesting his crops and he built barns and he says, "I'm going to lay up and I'll have food and provision for all of my life." And that night, God came and said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." We don't want to be like the rich fool, do we? The one that had barns and barns and all the things that he harvested. And he felt he had it made. But he didn't have it made. You see, God's in control of life. We're not. We're not in control. Do you want to be considered a fool by God? And then I want you to listen to Jesus' counsel to the disciples. Here in these verses, Jesus is talking to His disciples, His believers. Okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. "And He said unto His disciples," now the disciples are Thomas and John and you know the disciples. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." Verse 31 says, "But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Commit yourself to the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. That's what we started out in. Remember? Can you afford not to commit your life to the Lord? No, hey, that would be a foolish thing to do. Paul appeals to the Romans to present themselves to God in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And commitment isn't a game. "Well, let me try it for a while." No. No, listen. When you commit, you commit. When two young people stand before the preacher, and the preacher says, "Do you take this woman to be your lawful wife?" And he says, "I do." And he says to her, "Do you take this man to be your lawful husband?" And he says, "I do." And then he says, here before these witnesses and God in heaven, I now declare you husband and wife. But the two just became one. Only time in life that two make one. You don't find it in the math book, brother. But you do find it in the Bible. Okay? What is it? That's commitment. Commitment. Man likes to play games with God. Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. You tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. Well, he didn't do that with Saul of Tarsus. He said, you go into Damascus, and I'll send somebody, and he's going to tell you what I want you to do. And he was there 3 days, blind, without eating. And then God told him, I want you to be a preacher to the Gentiles. And he was a Jew and he hated the Gentiles in his former life. You see, when you want God to tell you what he wants you to do and then you can make up your mind, that makes it backwards. That means you're telling God what to do. No, let's put it the right way. Let's let the Creator of all things be the one that is in the front. You understand me? You understand what I'm talking about? The will of God in your life. The will of God in your life means that you are willing, you're committing yourself to do what God would have you to do as an individual. You see, the passage that we read right at the beginning teaches that commitment must come first, and then we can prove His will. And we'll find out when we do that it is the best. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you committed? Have you committed? If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, but you are willing to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, tonight would be a good time to commit. That would be good. You say, well, what would I get for it? Well, you're going to have the forgiveness of your sins. You'll end up with eternal life. You'll end up with the Holy Spirit as your best friend. You'll end up with a book that tells you how to live your life the rest of your life. And you end up with Christian friends. You can't beat that. I mean, that is great. Now, if you've been saved, but you've not been obedient in following Christ in, you know, maybe baptism, maybe you've made a profession of faith, but you haven't, you know, taken that first step of obedience with Him, maybe tonight you should commit to that. Maybe that's where you are. You see, we started out with the verse, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. If we allow Him to work, things will be done. Maybe you need to do that. Commit to it. Or if you've been saved and baptized, member of the church, but you have backslidden in your Christian life. Now, God hasn't changed. God doesn't change. In fact, there's verses in the Scripture that prove that He is changeless. He can't change. But if you have, maybe you need to recommit. Okay? Rededicate your life. And so, I don't know about you, but maybe you need to make a decision tonight about committing your life, about doing the will of God for you. And I hope that you won't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Instead, trust Him and obey Him. And if you'll do that, I'm going to guarantee you something. I'm going to guarantee you that anything He has promised, He will do. I'm a great-grandfather, and I've been living with the Lord in my life for many years, and He's never failed me, and He won't fail you either. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. That's what can happen in your life. And it's real. It works. And if it works for me, it'll work for you. Every one of you. Let's bow our heads for prayer.